Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the cold and windy suburbs of Chicago. This program is now only 1 hour until the end of November. The RBN management has assured me that we will return to the two-hour format at that time. Please visit RBN's website at republicbroadcasting.org. My website is spingola.com, where you will see a guest lineup for this program, along with relevant links. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1@yahoo.com. My regular email, which I do not look at during the program, is deanna@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We are not going to take calls today. With just an hour, it is difficult for the guest to present his or her information. However, please feel free to email your questions. My guest today is Paul Fromm. His website is paulfromm.com. His name is spelled F-R-O-M-M. The website is not operational yet, but I expect that it will be. He had a radio program on the Voice of Reason Radio the Voice of Reason Radio Network, entitled The Fighting Side of Me. Welcome to the program, Paul.
Glad to be here, Deanna.
Well, I read a little bit about you in Wikipedia, and and they paint you as quite an interesting scoundrel. And so I knew that you were a real stand-up guy just because of their totally unbiased opinions, right?
Right.
So you have been active in Canada's, against Canada's censorship. And you also had issues with a Mr. Warman, who is notorious for going after people who like to speak, to say the truth and enjoy free speech.
Well, that's true. Richard Warman is he's being described by a lawyer friend of mine, Doug Christie, as a professional Nazi hunter. Now, well, we don't mean people who fought in the war 67 years ago. He sees Nazis everywhere. In fact, he thinks if you support free speech, you're a critic of immigration, you perhaps have some problems with the Hollywood version of World War II, you're a Nazi. And he got a got his start right after 2001, because in that year our government changed changed the Canadian Human Rights Act, and there's a section in there which used to allow you, a person, to make a complaint if they thought you were willfully exposing a privileged minority to hatred or contempt with telephone messages, you know, like on a telephone answering machine. Well, technology moved ahead, and what they did in 2001 as part of the anti-terrorism actions is they extended that to the Internet. So this gave a real hunting ground for somebody like Warman. So he went searching for websites, postings, people who posted on Stormfront, people who had a little website. And he started filing these human rights complaints. And it really was a pretty lucrative business. Didn't cost him anything. In fact, at one point, during part of his complaint filings, he actually worked for the Canadian Human Rights Commission. So he filed a complaint, and this immediately starts racking up costs for the poor victim, because now the victim has to make a response. Quite often go on to a tribunal.
Interesting. All righty, we do have to take a real quick break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze-Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival. Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze-Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Website is paulfromm.com, and you were talking about Richard Warman, who is an Ottawa lawyer, and that he actually worked for this agency, and he probably also worked for B'nai B'rith, right? Or at least was associated with them.
Yes, he was associated with them back in 2005, I believe it was. He contributed to the B'nai B'rith's annual, they put out what they call their annual audit of anti-Semitic incidents. And he did a 25 or 26-page write-up in there for about, quote, hate on the Internet. At one of the tribunals, I asked him how much he was paid for that, but I wasn't allowed to ask that question or get an answer. But, he certainly worked with them. He also worked with the Canadian Jewish Congress. He received a human rights, in quotation marks, award from them a few years ago for his so-called, anti-racist work. And in my opinion, that word is it's a misconstruction. It's not anti-racist, it's basically anti-white. So what Warman made all these complaints, and people began to find out that there really was no defense. This is a law that until we got it overturned in 2009, there had not been no victim had ever won. Now, that's the sort of law that you might find over in a place like North Korea or the People's Democratic Republic of the Congo. But in no civilized country do you have a law where nobody's ever acquitted. People are all the time being acquitted of murder, armed robbery, and things like that. And the reason was, really, there was no defense. You know, you have to listen carefully, but the law, this is the way the law is worded, that it's a discriminatory practice to willfully to expose to hatred or contempt privileged groups. Now, you think, you know, exposed to hatred or contempt. They don't have to prove that anybody except the complainant ever even read your posting. They don't have to prove that anybody was ever influenced by it. You know, they have a very simple-minded, almost childish approach to communication. They seem to assume that just because somebody says something, somebody who reads it will absolutely agree. You know, you've never thought anything about Armenians, but you read something very critical of Armenians, and you then say, "Oh, I hate them so much, I want to kill them." Now, that's not the way people think. So they don't have to prove that anybody was ever influenced. Furthermore, the wording of the act says exposed to hatred or contempt. That where they really get you is the contempt, because hatred may be a fairly strong emotion, but contempt really is any criticism. You know, if I, you know, assuming you believe me, and I say some nasty things about smokers, you know, if you believe me, you're probably going to have a lower opinion of smokers than you did before. Well, that's contempt. So, and see, there are no defenses. You can't say, well, what I said was true, because a lot of the victims at first think, oh, well, I'm okay because I'm just quoting facts. Well, that's not, that doesn't get you off. It's the effect of what you, it's the assumed effect of what you said. So people were being convicted all over the place, hit with big fines. And then if you mentioned Warman, you know, after you'd been complained against, if you made a reference to Warman in a negative way, then he could get you for retaliation. Yeah, the victims couldn't even speak up about their being victimized. So then then they'd be fined, and he'd collect the money on that. In fact, one poor fellow out in Western Canada ended up having to pay $3,000. I don't think Warman ever collected a cent because the guy has no money, but this became an absolute racket. And we had, for a long time, we had no luck getting any attention from the press. The press was gloriously uninterested because the only people affected were, you know, what you might call little people. They didn't have any big influence and so on. It was only when some Muslims went after Canada's Maclean's magazine, which is, in a sense, the equivalent of Time, that the media finally paid attention. They said, well, how can this be? And then they were using all the material we put out, calling it a kangaroo court, saying the truth was no defense. How could there ever be such a law like this? And you know, it doesn't say much about the press. The press only got interested when it affected them.
Interesting. Now, why do you suppose that is?
Well, the press, for one thing, it tends to be left of center. Despite the image they might like to think have of themselves, they're not intrepid reporters trying to get to the bottom of things. They're conformist, go-along people, and they buy into much of this multiculturalism and so on. And the human rights legislation has been marketed as a way to protect multiculturalism and so on. Because if you didn't have these sorts of restrictions, why, you'd have people who are critical of what's going on speaking out, and you can't have that.
No, of course not. And is the press up there controlled by Jewish interest also?
Well, that would be a generalization. There are key network, key chains that are successor of Canwest Global, which was the Asper Empire, is very influential. And then it's not just who owns, but a good many of the people in the editorial end of things are Zionists. So, the press in Canada tends to be very, very responsive to Zionist issues, and therefore not necessarily too much in favor of free speech.
You know, go ahead, Paul.
There's been a change in attitude, and you know, it's not good. My friend Doug Christie, the lawyer, says, it doesn't really matter what's written up in charters of rights or constitutions or bills of rights. What really matters is what you're prepared to fight for. If you don't passionately want freedom, no charter is going to give it to you. So when I first got into the free speech battle back in 1982, when we founded the Canadian Association for Free Expression, when we would be arguing with people, usually with the Jewish lobby who wanted more censorship, the conversation would often go like this. Now, I'm in favor of free speech, but there was at least that recognition that free speech was a real value. Very often today, what you get is a rather arrogant attitude. Well, we're not like those Americans with unlimited free speech, as if that's something good. That's like saying, well, we're not like healthy people. We've got leprosy, and we're darn proud of it. It really is perverse. You know, it really is perverse. There are elements. He's now a member of the government, but when this legislation was coming in, this man was the justice critic for the opposition party, which was then called the Canadian Alliance, and he's a former Attorney General of Manitoba and generally pretty conservative man. I mean, he's what you normally consider one of the good guys. Well, when we were lobbying him to oppose extending the Human Rights Act to the internet, he said, well, we're not like those Americans with unlimited free speech. And he didn't say that regretfully. He said that as somehow some matter of pride. And so this is something that our organization has to work on and fight. We really want to turn Canadians on to freedom. Because if you don't cherish it, it will be taken away. And lawyers and judges and so on can always find ways around charters of rights or bills of rights or even the First Amendment in the United States. I know there are people who stay up nights trying to figure a way around the First Amendment, and there have been ways tried. Redefining controversial speech as an assault. It's not, if it's so-called hate speech, it's not really protected, because it's not speech, it's a form of assault. Well, you know, once you do that, the sky's the limit.
Right. And of course, certain groups of people like to do that, and they spend a lot of time doing it, while the rest of us are trying to keep food on the table and a roof over our heads. And you said that these people that they attack generally have to come up with all the funds to defend themselves just because they exercise their right of free speech on a website. Exactly,
and the crying shame of it is that he usually attacked people who were poor, either old and poor or young and poor. They didn't have money for a lawyer, so they would. In some cases, they just gave up and were silenced. And see, what happens is if you lose, they hit you with a lifetime cease and desist order, which means that you're not supposed to repeat the same or similar things to what they found you guilty of. Well, that's very vague. You know, you show that to any lawyer, and he's going to say, well, actually, you better not say anything on the internet other than your views on butterflies and the weather. And that's exactly what the totalitarian frame of mind. A number of people who didn't have the money for a lawyer came to me, and I assisted them. Our organization fought this law. We were interveners in the case that finally got it overturned.
We're going to a break. Okay, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
answer it. How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Paul Fromm. His website is paulfromm.com, and we were talking about some of the victims of this. Basically, I think it's them that's kind of creating the problems, and they get to talk about anybody they want and do anything they want and seemingly get away with it.
Well, that's right, Deanna. Anti-hate law legislation, so-called, is really a means of repressing dissent, and I think that's the way it has to be seen, and that's the way it has to be explained to people. It's the new world order, the multiculturalists, the diversity freaks, and the homosexual agenda people who want to repress dissent. They're not interested in an argument or debate. And so right across the Western world, they've invented these so-called, you know, anti-hate laws. Sometimes they're under the criminal code, and we have one such law. And sometimes they're under human rights commissions, and we had that too, and that's what Warman was are working particularly with. And these are all means of suppressing debate. For instance, in Alberta, there was a Human Rights Act, or there is a Human Rights Act, and a Red Deer pastor by the name of Reverend Stephen Boyson wrote a letter to the editor 10 years ago. And he was very critical of the homosexual agenda. He said, you know, that the this agenda was getting into our education system and was going to destroy the country. And, you know, those were his views. Well, a couple of weeks later, a homosexual activist at the University of Calgary, a Professor Lund, launched a human rights complaint against him. And in the complaint, he alleged that a young homosexual had been beaten up in Red Deer, and it may have been because of the pastor's letter to the editor. Years went by, and finally there was a human rights tribunal hearing. And the tribunal decided back in 2008 that, yes, there would have been, it might have been a connection. None was ever proved. In fact, they never actually proved there even was an assault. It was all a rumor. Of course, nobody was ever caught for it, charged with it, and if it did occur. And so we have no way of knowing if whoever did it, if they did it, had ever read the pastor's letter to the editor. Anyway, it was decided that, yes, he must have had some, the letter must have had some influence. So he was ordered not to make any statements in any form about homosexuals. And he was to pay the complainant $4,000 for having taken the trouble to complain against him. Well, this was appealed to a court. The court threw it out, and then the professor appealed to the Alberta Court of Appeals, and finally the decision came down about 10 days ago, and the Court of Appeals upheld the throwing out of this case against the pastor. And this time they awarded costs in the pastor's favor, and the professor has to pay it. But and you may say, oh, well, great victory. Well, for 10 years, this man has been, who's very poor, has been harassed through human rights tribunals, two court cases. For 3 years, he was legally forbidden to discuss homosexuals at all. Now that means, as a Christian pastor, if he was asked, well, what is your stand on homosexuality or the practice of homosexuality? Legally speaking, he'd have to say, I'm not allowed to tell you. In other words, his right to his religious beliefs, and presumably if you have a right to your beliefs, you have the right to discuss them, his rights were completely trampled on. Now, in the end, the courts said the Human Rights Commission had no power to make such a prohibition, and the pastor got his rights back. But, you know, at what cost? This is a thing I point out to people, it isn't so much an abuse of process. These anti-free speech cases are an abuse by process. They take so long, they cost so much money, and very often the victim is gagged for years on end.
Right.
I can tell you about the Terry Tremaine case, which in some ways is even more outrageous. But.
Right. Now, many of those incidences, such as the assault on a homosexual, have been shown to be done by the supposed victims themselves, such as the Jewish student, a female Jewish student, caught painting a swastika on her dorm room door. And, so they're doing it to themselves just for the notoriety and the publicity. And you have to kind of wonder, what's wrong with these people?
Oh, I mean, of course, it's an instant winner. If you can show that you've been attacked by, you know, it's always very vague, you know, racist Nazis or something like that, and you know, somebody has sprayed a swastika on your door or something. Oh, yeah, absolutely, instant publicity, instant sympathy. You're the victim, and so on. And yes, Deanna, in a surprising number of cases. The so-called victims are really the perpetrators for whatever reason. I guess I first became aware of the idea of hate.
Whoops! All righty, we'll be back in 3 minutes, so stay tuned with our guest today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Hey, meat eaters! The freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendovite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendovite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Guest today is Paul Fromm. All righty, we interrupted you mid-sentence, so please carry on.
Okay, I wanted to tell you about another just outrageous case has occurred up here in Canada. It's a case of Terry Tremaine. In this case, he's being the victim of multiple attacks by Richard Warman. Terry Tremaine, for those of you who are on Stormfront, posted about 3,000 posts under the name MathDoctor99, and that's MathDoctor99, in 2004 and 5. And Terry's a university-educated man. He's a university instructor, or at least he was. A very thoughtful, very articulate guy. And He came to the attention of Richard Warman, and Warman filed a human rights complaint against him in the spring of 2005. Almost immediately, before the complaint was ever adjudicated or anything, when even under our laws, man is still innocent until proven guilty, Warman went to Terry Tremaine's employer at the University of Saskatchewan, and basically threatened them, said that if they didn't take appropriate action, whatever that was, Warman would go to the police and presumably also the media. Well, the university freaked out, and because Terry Tremaine was on an occasional contract, he was not a tenured professor, he immediately lost his job. So there he is without employment. And Warman still went to the paper, so his name is blackened in the local media, you know, professor accused of neo-Nazi, blah, 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 you know, the type of stuff that, an inflammatory headline, but that's all there was. So the next spring, Terry Tremaine, now broke, had to face a tribunal in August 2006. And so he came to me for my assistance. We fought the good fight. Of course, we lost. And early in 2007, Terry was hit with a cease and desist order and a $4,000 fine. Now, in 2006, the previous year, he had made half of the poverty level in Canada. In other words, he was desperately, desperately poor. No way he could pay the $4,000 fine. So the next thing Warman did is he went to the police in Saskatchewan, in Regina, and got Terry Tremaine charged under the criminal code. Now, this could send him to jail.
That's terrible.
I'm only beginning the story. Early in 2008, the police raid Terry Tremaine. They charge him under Section 319 of the criminal code, the so-called hate law, and his bail conditions are he's not allowed to own a computer or access a computer or go on the internet. In other words, he hasn't been found guilty of anything, but he is essentially silenced. I mean, he's essentially made a non-person, because even to get a job today, you almost have to be able to use the internet. So, okay, he goes back to court four more times and gets the bail conditions eased slightly to the point where he is allowed to own a computer, he is allowed to go on the internet, but he's not allowed to post his views on any so-called white supremacist website, nor to make any changes to his own website, where he has his views and so on. So that went on from January 2008 until just about a month ago. So he was gagged for 4.5 years. Not allowed to post his views. Now, there are a lot of other things that happened, but in the end, we fought this so hard that we got a judge to throw these charges out back in September on the basis of undue delay, that the case had been just simmering along for over 4 years, and the judge agreed that was undue delay. But you know, part of you says, oh, well, good, hooray, Terry won. You know, Terry didn't exactly win. He was gagged for longer than if he'd been found guilty and sent to prison for the maximum time, which would have been two years. So the system finds really devious and diabolical ways to silence dissent. But the story's still not over, because Terry Tremaine, in that brief period of time after his human rights conviction, but before he was charged under the criminal code, posted some more stuff on the internet. Richard Warman has three times made complaints that this constituted contempt of court. There was a hearing and a trial in November 2010, and Terry was acquitted. The government then appealed, and they won the appeal. We appealed that, and we lost by a 2-1 margin, and the Supreme Court wouldn't hear the case. So earlier this month, Terry Tremaine was back in court in Vancouver to be sentenced for contempt of court. Now, even though the law under which he was originally convicted has been repealed by Parliament, the judge is seriously considering jailing Terry Tremaine for months unless he takes down his website. That's what the government wants. Not just a couple of offensive passages, or what they said were offensive passages. No, he's got to lose it all. Yeah, and you know, you really have to pinch yourself, Deanna, to remember that we're not talking about North Korea here, or communist China, or some hellhole in Africa. We're talking about Canada, that pats itself on the back every time it can about our commitment to human rights.
Yeah, like the same kind of rights that they gave to Ernst Zundel, right?
Yes.
And you were involved with that also. You were, and I know that Doug Christie, of course, was his lawyer. And it is amazing to me that all the time that they were trying him in two different trials, that terrorist activities people were engaged in terrorist activities against him and his property, actually burned his house, and he had to wear a hard hat to court for his safety. And yet all he did was reproduce a pamphlet that he didn't even write.
Yes, this is back in the 80s, and it was another example that censorship laws are an abuse of by process, not necessarily of process, maybe that too. But Ernst was charged in 1983 under a very old law called the False News Law, and that went back to the time that when communications weren't all that good in the 19th century, and what had been done is that unscrupulous speculators would spread a rumor. Let's say there was a bumper wheat crop in England, and wheat prices in Canada would fall, so farmers would panic and sell low. Well, in fact, there was no such there was no glut of wheat in England. This is just a way to lie and manipulate the market. That's what the law referred to. But some creative Jewish enemies of free speech decided that they would charge Ernst Zundel under the False News Act. So he went through two trials, two appeals to the Supreme Court. Basically, from 1983 to 1992, before the Supreme Court threw the law out. Now, you might say, well, hooray for Ernst. Oh, he won. Well, yeah, he won, but at the cost probably of over $1 million, not a penny of which he ever got back from the government. And he was gagged. So from 1983 to 1992, he was not allowed to discuss the Holocaust. Well, that was his topic. Yeah, you
amazing.
Know, it's like telling the weatherman he can't talk about the weather. And so even in the end, you'd say, well, okay, Ernst didn't go to jail, and that's true. But the fight was not only incredibly costly financially, but it also meant that Ernst Zundel was sidelined. And you know, that's what they want. It isn't even so much throwing you in jail. They want you essentially silenced, and they have had some success of that. And then, unfortunately, a lot of other people take a look at that and they say, oh, well, that's too controversial for me. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to happen to be what happened there in Zundel.
It's an example.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, it's an example. You know, this is what's going to happen to you. And, I mean, it's the same kind of an example as assassinating a president very publicly. Kind of gives the rest of the politicians pause to think about what they're going to do.
Oh yeah, that's exactly the message they want to send. Like, you know, if you can't believe in the New World Order, if you can't believe what we're telling you, but you just better not say anything. Keep your mouth shut. And yeah. that is so unhealthy for a democracy. One of the things that a story I've heard a number of times, but has always impressed me, is when Benjamin Franklin was exiting I guess it was the Independence Hall in Philadelphia after they'd written up the I guess it was the Constitution. Some woman in the crowd said to him, "Well, what have you given us, Mr. Franklin?" And Benjamin Franklin supposedly said, a republic, madam, if you can keep it. And I think what he was suggesting is that a healthy participatory government, whether you want to call it democracy or a republic, requires active citizen participation. And how can citizens participate if they're constantly afraid, well, I can't say this, or I mustn't say that, or you know, I could go to jail for this? I think the U.S. Founding Fathers very wisely understood that essential in all this was freedom of speech. You don't really have political participation if you don't have free speech.
How true. And speaking of free speech, you had a program on Voice of Reason, and the archives are still up, but the network is no longer functioning. Is that true?
Yeah, Reason Radio pretty much imploded at the end of July. And this is a real concern. So if anybody in your audience has any more information than I do, I'd be very glad to get it. The chief force behind Reason Radio is a fellow named Mike Connor in Connecticut, and he was a very dedicated fellow. And we had quite a group of broadcasters. There was Dr. Tom Sunich, myself, Jamie Kelso, Stan Hess, and a number of others. And near the end of July, Mike Connor just seemed to disappear. We can't reach him by email, snail mail. The site's down. We don't know what happened, and it's kind of a concern. But many of the same broadcasters have gotten back together now under the banner of Countercurrent. So you can hear our broadcasts at countercurrents.org.
Okay, that's with Dr. Johnson, correct?
Yes. And that's Countercurrents with a hyphen. Counter hyphen.
Right, stop. Matt. Okay. Interesting. But that's good. That's good.
But, you know, the enemies of free thought recognize, I think, even earlier than many of us did, the importance of the Internet. And so ever since the mid-1990s, there's been a battle between the forces of censorship and those of us who believe in free speech. I know one of the main culprits in all this is the Simon Wiesenthal Center in California. For years, they've been putting out an annual report about I think back in the late 90s, there were 5,000 hate sites. Then it was 6, then it's 7, and I'm not sure what they're up to now, but And you look at what they call a hate site. You know, it's really anything if you're critical of immigration, in favor of free speech, or you have some problems with the Hollywood version of World War II, or God help you, if you don't believe that the Zionists should rule from the Nile to the Euphrates, you're a hate site. You know, maybe we do share some of the blame. I mean, the general public, people are too uncritical. What is a hate site? Hate is one of those emotional words that when you get right down to it, is simply a term of abuse.
Right. Isn't that like calling the so-called war on terror? I mean, how do you do that? That's the same as a war on hate speech, because the comparison is very similar.
Yeah. Yes. And hate is never defined.
Right.
If you criticize Israel, you're a hater. If you believe that that the Palestinians should be dispossessed of their land, their properties as they were seized, the people driven into squalid refugee camps, and if they protest, well, they're a terrorist. Well, wait a sec. You know, what gives these foreigners the right to come into somebody's land and take it over? They're the good guys, and the people who live there, if they protest, they're the bad guys. You know, I think we have to be we have to be a little more cautious about the terms we use and the terms we accept. When they talk about hate, more often than not, they're talking about criticism of one of their sacred cows. It always amazes me that their approach is not to debate. You know, if we're so wrong, if the so-called haters or people who have a different point of view, if we're wrong, if we're incorrect, why not debate us? Why not discuss it and just show that we're complete fools? Well, they don't do that, of course.
Right. Truth should not fear investigation. Right?
I'm sorry?
Truth should not fear investigation. If what they are claiming is true, then they should be open to investigation and to debate about it. But they won't even allow anybody else to have a voice.
That's the crying unfair thing about it. If their position is so right, then they don't need to silence people.
Exactly. Now, didn't the Wiesenthal Center just put out a copy of a letter purportedly written by Adolf Hitler in 1919, stating what his position on the Jewish question was?
I'm sorry?
Didn't the Wiesenthal Center just put out a letter that is purportedly the first letter written by Adolf Hitler about the Jewish question? We do have to go to a break. We will be right back.
I think I read that, yes.
Call to action.
Will you survive?
Learn how to survive at the biggest preparedness expo in the USA.
The Get Prepared Expo.
Over 175 seminars and exhibits. Survival medicine. Survival gardening. Growing heirloom seeds.
Negotiating for your life.
Surviving violent climate change. Radiation survival. Economic collapse.
Disease prevention.
Raising bees, rabbits, and chickens for food. Defending your home and family. Surviving tornadoes. Water filtration and purification. Fill buckets of storable food.
Ask yourself,
are you prepared for solar storms, nuclear meltdown, dollar collapse, skyrocketing food and fuel prices, earthquakes, tornadoes?
Where is your plan?
Get Prepared Expo, Saturday and Sunday, November 3rd and 4th, Ozark Empire Fairgrounds,
Springfield, Missouri.
Meet USA Prepares Vincent Finelli, Dr. Norman Shealy, Dr. Joel Wallach, Matt Stein, The Freeze Dry Guy, Missouri Storm Shelters, Jeff and Karen Olson,
and over 50 more instructors.
$8 one day and $15 weekend passes available online now. GetPreparedExpo.com.
Will you survive?
GetPreparedExpo.com.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA. 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today has been Paul Fromm, and the website is paulfromm.com. And just before we went to the break, I mentioned the letter that the Wiesenthal Center had produced, claiming that it was the first letter that Adolf Hitler ever wrote about his view of the Jews back in 1919.
And I believe I read about that. I don't know what we're supposed to do with it, but
Right. I think they're running scared. I think that there's just a lot of information coming out about this big hoax, and that they are trying to prove their point once again with some sort of a document that who knows what the origin of it is.
I think another thing that's happening is that a lot of people are bored with World War II. I mean, if you're 40 years old or 20 years old, what does it mean to you? I'm a great history buff, and I might be interested in, but this is being held over people's heads, and I think a lot of people resent it. Why should people get all in a lather about something that happened 67 years ago? We've got problems right here today.
Right. I do think history, though, and the events in the past have certainly lent to today's problems. I mean, we wouldn't have these problems if they hadn't orchestrated this big hoax back during World War II. Then we wouldn't have this problem of the Israeli state.
I think that's right. And you know, one of the things I think they don't want us to look at is what it was that Hitler did economically. Nobody denies that when he took power, Germany was in the depths of the Depression, as was Canada, the United States, Britain, and so on. 2 years later, he had full employment, the economy was turned around, they were building roads like mad, good working conditions, and so on. And people at the time were agog. Our own prime minister at the time, Mackenzie King, said, Mr. Hitler, we must study this further. Mr. Hitler must be doing something right. How does he do it? That's a very good question. I mean, what did he do that turned his economy around while the United States, Canada, and Britain, and other countries continued to be in misery until the outbreak of the Second World War? That's kind of a long story, and probably longer than we have any time for today. But I think to deflect inquiry about that, I think the Holocaust lobby has hyped up this Holocaust thing so that you daren't think anything good about Hitler or National Socialism. They're just a demon, so you never try to defend Satan. I think that's part of what's happening.
Right. Somebody in the chat room said, was that letter written with a ballpoint pen like the Diary of Anne Frank?
and printed out on a dot matrix printer.
Right. We have some pretty funny people in the chat room. Well, it's been lovely having you on the program, Paul. I hope we can do this again.
I very much like that, Deanna.
All righty. Well, thanks so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow. Take care.